know, yeah.
Bob Carlin hosts the Record Ranch every Thursday at this time. Funds for his program are provided by the Philadelphia Folk Song Society. It's 4 o'clock. This is Fresh Air, and you're tuned to WHYY-FM in Philadelphia. We're going to spend the remainder of today's show discussing the court suit that was just settled out of court relating to Agent Orange and chemical manufacturing companies. Americans who fought in Vietnam and survived without injury expected to come home and resume a normal life, but thousands of men lost their good health a few years after returning home. Typical physical problems included body rashes, tumors, chronic diarrhea, bowel disorders, hearing impairment, and muscle problems. Many of these men fathered children with serious birth defects and had wives who had an unusually high number of miscarriages. These disorders were eventually linked to exposure to the chemical herbicide Agent Orange, which contains the toxic dioxin. 12 million tons of Agent Orange were sprayed in Vietnam from 1965 to 1970 to defoliate the overgrown areas around roads and paths where North Vietnamese guerrillas hid. 5 years ago, approximately 15,000 Vietnam veterans joined in a class action suit against 7 chemical companies which manufactured Agent Orange. It was the largest class of claimants ever permitted to sue for personal injury. The case was scheduled to go to court on May 7th, but just 6 hours before the trial, lawyers announced that an out-of-court settlement had been reached. The 7 companies agreed to create a fund of $180 million, which will be held for about 6 years, at which time it will have grown to approximately $250 million with interest. Settlement must still be approved by a federal judge and subjected to public hearings. The veterans' community is divided over the settlement. Some are angry because the case was not given the chance to come to trial. They expected the trial would have determined the extent of the chemical company's prior knowledge of the dangers of Agent Orange. Government and military architects of the war were also expected to take the stand and possibly divulge under cross-examination new information about the war. In the out-of-court settlement, chemical companies accepted no responsibility for the claimants' medical problems and acknowledged no connection between dioxin and the medical problems in question. However, if the case had come to trial, it could have taken many years to resolve, so many veterans are pleased with the out-of-court settlement, which means they'll soon be eligible for payments. This is the largest personal injury settlement in history. The agreement now leaves vets free to press claims against the government for authorizing the use of Agent Orange, and such a suit is being initiated today by Victor Iannacone, the original lawyer for the vets in the class action suit against the chemical companies. During the rest of today's show, we'll hear from 3 participants in the Agent Orange controversy, 2 Vietnam veterans who were exposed to Agent Orange, and a lawyer for the Hercules Corporation, one of the companies that manufactured the herbicide. First, we'll hear a phone interview I recorded a couple of days ago with Michael Milne, National Director of Veterans of the Vietnam War. Michael Milne was exposed to Agent Orange when he fought in Vietnam in 1968 and 69. He's now totally disabled as a result of medical conditions he believes were caused by exposure to dioxin. He opposes the out-of-court settlement with the chemical companies. When I called Michael Milne at his house in Wilkes-Barre, I asked him to describe the medical conditions he suffers from.
Well, I have degenerative cervical neck disease, and it's spreading down through the spine. I have an arthritic-type problem throughout the body that they don't know exactly what it is. It has baffled the VA and baffled civilian specialists for years. I've had diarrhea since 1968. I have photosensitivity to light with my eyes. Rashes on my feet and legs and groin. I have a hearing problem with one ear. It's a high-pitched whine. It's not like tinnitus. When I was 35, a doctor at the VA told me I had the body of a 60-year-old man. That about sums it up.
Can you describe your exposure to Agent Orange?
I was exposed in the field by direct spraying. Also, I did a lot of convoys from down in the Delta up north to pick up supplies for our people in the Delta, and the roads that we used were constantly being sprayed to keep the vegetation back off the road to help for ambushes and so on. And we also handled the barrels at the docks and brought them back to the Delta for it to be used down there.
Why are you dissatisfied with the out-of-court settlement?
The main reason is that the truth will never really be known unless we go to court. The settlement is not actually settled yet. It is only tentative. This could go either way. There are going to be public hearings in the very near future, and it may possibly go to court. And this is what I'm hoping for, because then the truth has to be told, and the Dow knowingly did what they did with the chemicals, knew they were toxic and mutagenic, and knew the consequences from it. We have, or our attorneys have, enough paperwork to back up what we've been saying for years. And now, unless it goes to court, we won't be allowed to bring that information forward.
You say that you think Dow knew in advance about the toxicity of Agent Orange. Do you think that other companies knew as well?
Oh, I'm sure they did.
What action is currently being taken on this issue in opposition to the out-of-court settlement?
At the present time, nobody can take any action on it until a final decision is made. For our information, it would be 60 to 90 days before the final answer is reached, whether it does indeed go to court or it will start putting a system together to compensate the veteran.
What do you think would be a just alternative if you could design a settlement? What would you be looking for?
Well, for one thing, they would have to make a much larger settlement than what tentatively has been done, for the simple reason that these people cannot be compensated in a one-shot deal, so to speak. If they were to pay the veteran and the widow right now, it would amount to about $9,000. That doesn't even cover a year's lost wages for many vets. They would have to set up a larger fund, and through the medical evidence entered to whomever is going to handle all this, would have to be based on a monthly compensation, so the fund itself doesn't get wiped out overnight, and the veteran or the family would have a monthly income to pay for continuing doctor bills and lost wages and so on.
What do you think the chances are of ever reaching an agreement which you would find satisfactory?
It's very difficult to answer that, as I say, until something is done or settled, that there will never be an answer, because the VA and the government are against the Agent Orange, the whole herbicide thing from the beginning, and if Dow has to admit in court that they knew, then Dow is going to turn around, or the chemical companies, excuse me, I just refer to Dow as all of them, that they will in turn have to go after the federal government, and then the federal government's going to get caught with its hand in the cookie jar, so to speak, which in turn, long-term, could bring international suit from the Korean veterans, New Zealand veterans, and the Australian veterans, the civilians who worked in Vietnam, the civilian volunteers such as the Red Cross and USOs and so on and so forth. So the government does not want to open Pandora's box, so to speak.
How many vets do you think your position represents? Are you part of a coalition that shares this point of view?
No, not necessarily a coalition. I'm the national director of a Vietnam Veterans Organization, and that's my personal opinion. But it has been voiced similar by just about every vet that I've run across since the decision was made a week ago. And the office is constantly getting calls from veterans who are really upset, and we we are in contact with other Vietnam veterans organizations, and they've been calling us and kind of giving us the same view.
Who do you think is more culpable right now? You've mentioned the government and the manufacturers of the toxics as having some knowledge of the hazards that they might cause. Who seems to you to be the more key figure?
I believe it's the chemical companies. You've got to understand, when Vietnam was going on and they were using the herbicides, that when they manufactured the herbicide, there's a special heat temperature that has to be maintained when you're manufacturing it, or it makes it more toxic. And from the information we've been able to gather, it's a known fact that the chemical companies were manufacturing the stuff at a high rate, that it was actually coming out 25 times stronger than the normal dose, plus then the when the government tested in Florida with ranch hand, it wasn't doing the job that they wanted it to do. It wasn't doing it quickly enough. So consequently, by the time the mix got to Vietnam, it was being mixed 14 times stronger than what it should have been mixed, and it was already at least 25 times stronger than it should have been. And the chemical companies knew one end of it, and the government knew the other end of it, but they didn't get any immediate effects other than dizziness and a rash and so on, but the people weren't constantly exposed to it day after day after day. They didn't live in it. They were able to, at the end of the day, go back to the barracks, take a shower, get rid of their clothes, eat fresh food and vegetables and fruit, whereas the people that were in country didn't have this luxury available to them.
You recently testified on behalf of House Bill 1961. Would you briefly describe the bill and why you support it?
We went down to Tom Daschle, Congressman Daschle, invited us to come down to testify because, well, two of us had handled dioxin and been heavily exposed to it, and the third man went with us as part of our organization to testify. And we support the bill for the simple reason that it's by far the best bill that's been introduced for herbicide victims, and we also wanted the bill to be expanded. At the present time, it only covers three things, and there's a possibility that it may be expanded at a future date. It's supposed to go before the floor, I believe, this summer in June or July. We're anticipating a rider being attached to it to handle more of the symptoms of herbicide poisoning.
One last question. Have you received any compensation for the physical problems that you're having that you think are a result of exposure to herbicides?
I received 10% compensation for a rash, and it took 7 years of fighting to get that in compensation from the VA. And I'm 100% disabled, and I'm on Social Security disability. And I'm not very happy about that, because I feel the VA should be giving me that compensation, not Social Security, and that I had a very good job with an electric utility in the state, and now I can no longer work. My income has been reduced drastically, and it's made an enormous amount of changes in my personal life, in my family's life, and I'm hoping that the end result will come, that the VA will compensate the victims of herbicide poisoning.
Well, thank you very much for talking with us.
You're more than welcome.
That was Michael Milne, National Director of Veterans of the Vietnam War, Incorporated. He's totally disabled by medical conditions he believes were caused by exposure to Agent Orange in Vietnam in 1968 and 69. The veterans class action suit that was just settled out of court was taken against seven chemical manufacturing companies of Agent Orange: Dow Chemical, the Monsanto Company, the Diamond Shamrock Company, Uniroyal, the TH Agriculture and Nutrition Company, the Thompson Medical Company, and Hercules Incorporated. My next guest on Fresh Air is S. Maynard Turk, a vice president and counsel for Hercules Incorporated, which is headquartered in Wilmington, Delaware. It's estimated that Hercules manufactured 18% of the Agent Orange used in Vietnam. Maynard Turk, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
Is Hercules satisfied with the outcome of the out-of-court settlement?
Well, considering all of the circumstances, I think it's a fair settlement.
What would you have hoped for if you could have written the settlement?
Well, I suppose if we would have had our everything to our complete liking, we would have had the case dismissed. As you probably know, we were at one time dismissed from the case by the first judge who had the case, Judge Pratt. We were brought back in when Judge Weinstein took over the case. The fact of the matter is, at least we perceived that whatever claims the veterans had, they were really making it against dioxin. And the Agent Orange that we made and delivered did not contain any detectable levels of dioxin. So we would have hoped to have gotten out without anything. But it's a real world in which we live, and under all the circumstances, I think we're satisfied.
How is it going to affect your company financially?
It will have no major adverse financial impact on our company.
Is that because the insurance companies will pay?
Well, the insurance company will bear a major portion of it, but we are a large company, and it will not have any major adverse financial impact on us.
Stocks rose in five of the seven companies after the out-of-court settlement. What does that indicate?
Well, I suppose it could indicate that the very fact that the litigation was out there was a cloud on the companies and was some uncertainty so far as analysts were concerned. And once that uncertainty was removed, or at least largely removed, maybe it caused the stocks to react favorably.
In this out-of-court settlement, the chemical companies did not admit to any connection between dioxin and the medical problems that the vets who brought the class action suit have, and the chemical companies take no responsibility for the medical problems. Do you believe that there is any link from what we know now between dioxin and the medical problems that many vets who were exposed to Agent Orange are experiencing?
I do not believe there is, and I do not believe there is any good scientific evidence there is. And all the studies that have been done by the government indicate that to be the situation. As you probably know, the government just announced several months ago an extensive study that they had done involving the ranch hand participants in the Agent Orange situation. And they were the people who actually did the handling and spraying of the Agent Orange in Vietnam. And they would have been the people that would have been exposed more than any other veterans. And there's no indication that there was any statistical abnormalities in the health of that group of people. Additionally, in our case, for example, we manufactured 2,4-5-T, which is one of the ingredients in Agent Orange and the one that is alleged to have had the dioxin in it. We manufactured that product for about 10 years. We never had a single chloriacne problem with any of our workers. Statistically, none of our workers have had any problems of the kind that the veterans complain of. So while I don't question that many of the veterans have problems, I think they're connected to something else other than Agent Orange.
If there's no connection between Agent Orange and the medical problems that veterans are experiencing, why would the companies settle out of court to the tune of $180 million? Doesn't that imply that there is a connection?
No, I don't think it does. I think all of the companies looked at this from the practical standpoint, and they could see years and years and years of endless litigation almost, enormously expensive. We were facing immediately a trial starting, it was scheduled to start May 7, that had been variously estimated to last anywhere from 4 months to a year and a half. Those kind of proceedings become enormously expensive, very disruptive to the whole business setting of a company. And faced with that kind of exposure, I think the companies just felt that if there was some reasonable basis on which the litigation could be settled, it would be better to get the incident behind and get on to something else. And that, I think, is why the settlement was agreed upon, not because the companies felt any responsibility.
The Defense Department banned Agent Orange in 1971, its use in Vietnam. Why do you think they did that? Do you think it had nothing to do with health-related matters?
Well, I think there was a lot of publicity surrounding the use of the defoliant even before 1971. You must remember, also, in 1971, the war was beginning to wind down. I think it was a question of the Defense Department deciding that it was just too controversial and they wouldn't continue it for that reason. I don't think the Defense Department ever admitted that there was anything wrong with it.
According to the New York Times, court documents show that makers of Agent Orange secretly discussed its extreme toxicity many times as early as the mid-1960s. Did Hercules have any knowledge of the danger of dioxin? Do you dispute the existence of these meetings that the New York Times mentions?
There were some meetings which are well documented that discussed some problems with manufacture, availability, a number of things. But I don't think there was anything hidden or anything secret about those meetings. And I reiterate that to the extent that the veterans' claim is based on dioxin, our product was dioxin-free. Some of the other manufacturers did have dioxin in it. We were not aware of that at the time.
My understanding is that it wasn't exactly dioxin-free. It was one part per million of dioxin, which is a relatively low level.
No,
for
it was
Agent
not.
Orange.
That was the amount that the court assigned as a minimum for purposes of negotiating the settlement. Ours did not have one part per million. Ours had a non-detectable level.
According to the original lawyer for the case, Victor Iannacone, chemical companies suppressed studies that were done on chickens who were exposed to dioxin in the late 1950s. Did Hercules have any knowledge of those studies?
We have no knowledge of those studies at all.
And now?
And don't now.
Do you feel that Hercules was unfairly involved in this case? I know that you dispute the fact that there's any connection between dioxin and medical problems being
right.
experienced by veterans now. And you say that your company's Agent Orange had no dioxin in it. But do you think that your company was unjustly included in this suit, since the level of dioxin, depending on the sources, is either non-existent or relatively very low?
Well, let me approach it a little different way, if I might. I think that for whatever reason, Agent Orange became a target. I think there are many, many other things to which the veterans were exposed. For example, Dapsone, which was an anti-malaria drug, and I believe it has been definitely diagnosed as a carcinogen, widely used during the Vietnam War. There were a lot of other things that were used. Dexedrine, which is a speed that was widely known that veterans were that the soldiers were using it while they were there. Marijuana was heavily used. DDT was used, for example, to very widely, particularly around mess halls and around barracks areas, to keep insects down. DDT is an insecticide. So there were many, many things that the veterans in Vietnam, to which the veterans in Vietnam were exposed, that our normal veterans in the past wars had not been exposed to. So I think there are many things that could explain whatever the health problems are that the veterans have, if they have a statistical health problem. And I'm not sure that the health problem in the veterans today is statistically an abnormal one, taking into account the size of the veteran population of the Vietnam War.
What after effects do you think this out-of-court settlement is going to have for not only the chemical companies involved in the case, but for other chemical manufacturers as well?
Well, there is some thinking that it may give birth to new and more lawsuits. I hope that's not the situation, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Do you think that chemical companies might be more cautious in the future before entering into contract with the military, now that they've been sued for a contract that they had with the military?
Well, I think it's going to be much more likely that suppliers and contractors with the government will require the government to indemnify them before they sell them products, because certainly I think there was some reference made to the in the former interview that you had that indicated that the Agent Orange that was used was used in much higher concentrations than was recommended, and I think that's true. But you must remember the companies had nothing to do with the manner in which it was used. That was solely up to the government, and if it was misused, that was a government problem, not a supplier problem.
Do you think that there's any chance that these seven companies will enter into suit against the government?
I can only speak for Hercules. Hercules intends to sue the government.
On what grounds?
Under the Tucker Act, a breach of implied warranty on the basis of the government, so far as our contractual arrangement with the government is concerned. And I think we have an excellent chance of recovering that which we've paid out.
And what's the nature of the implied warning that was breached?
Well, I think certainly there was an implied warning that the product would be used according to recommended specifications, and it was not used according to recommended specifications.
Do you have any precedents that you could base your suit on?
Oh, there have been many suits against the government under the Tucker Act. This is a particular act that, under which you have to sue the government in the Court of Claims. So the suits would be brought under that particular act in Washington.
And assuming that you sue, well, what's the most that you would hope for from the government? Would you be looking for them to pay back the amount of money that you owe in this fund to the vets, or would you be looking for damages as well?
Well, certainly we would expect to get back from the government everything that we have had to expend in this thing. And the you must remember, we've been involved in this litigation now for something like a period of 5 years, and we've had a lot of expense during that period of time, direct cost. And also, this kind of thing is very disruptive from the standpoint of an ongoing business. And we've suffered substantial damages because of this whole thing.
If you sue the government on the grounds that they violated the warning, isn't that having it both ways? Since on one hand you're saying that there's no connection between Agent Orange and medical problems, and on the other hand you'd be suing the government saying, well, it's because they used too much of it.
No, we're suing the government on the basis that because of the fact that they used too much of it, the veterans perceived that they were injured, and the veterans proceeded against us, and it should have been the government's problem, and the government should have come in and taken over, which they did not do, and therefore our claim is still valid, even though we don't recognize that there was any harm done to the veterans.
Okay, I want to thank you for speaking with us. Any concluding comments you'd like to make?
None at all, but I've enjoyed it, and thank you very much.
Thank you for being with us, and I've been speaking with S. Maynard Turk, who is a vice president and general counsel with Hercules Incorporated, and they are one of the seven companies that just settled out of court with Vietnam veterans who sued them for medical damages that they attribute to the after effects of dioxin in the defoliant Agent Orange. Our last two guests on Fresh Air today are George and Sheila Ewalt, who live in Roxborough. George Ewalt fought in the Vietnam War in 1967 and 68 and was exposed to Agent Orange. In 1972, the Ewalt's daughter Tara was born with a stomach obstruction and asthma and skin conditions. About 6 years ago, George Ewalt began suffering from tremors, numbness in different parts of his body, and skin tumors on his head, back, and legs. Doctors diagnosed him as suffering from nerve damage of unknown origin and skin cancer. A year later, he joined 15,000 other Vietnam veterans in a class action suit against the seven companies that manufactured Agent Orange. The Ewalt's case was selected as one of nine to be considered individually by the court, but the trial ended before it began last week when the chemical company's out-of-court settlement was announced. George and Sheila Ewalt support the settlement. I want to welcome you both to Fresh Air. Thank you. Why are you happy with this settlement, George Ewalt?
Well, the way I view the settlement, that the tentative agreement on $180 million, is for the last 5 to 10 years, the veterans with the problems, with the children that are having health problems, that have been born with deformities and all, at least now there's a fund that can be used to start being used to give help to these people. And that's a major step just in itself right there.
Sheila, do you want to add anything to that in support of the settlement?
I'm glad it's over for personal reasons.
Yeah, I can see how that would be
for his, but for personal also.
What's the trade-off between having the money, which is available now and will be available much more quickly than it would have been had the trial actually stayed in court, and the symbolic trade-off, because it seems to me one of the things many of the Vits hoped would happen as a result of this case was to have the chemical to have research indicate that there was in fact a link between dioxin and the medical problems being experienced. Now, this is not happening as a result of the out-of-court settlement. The chemical companies say that there's no correlation between Agent Orange and the medical problems, and they accept no responsibility for the problems. Symbolically, the Vets were hoping for that to be settled in court, for that correlation to be settled in court. So what's the trade-off for you between the monetary gains and that symbolic connection?
Well, I can understand many of the viewpoints of the veterans that wanted to have it go to trial all the way, because a lot of them say they wanted the truth out and everything like that. But if you view it from the court system, if this had actually gone to trial, it would have drawn on for a couple more years at least. Then you would have went into appeals, no matter which side won. So this thing could have drug on through the court system from anywhere, I figure, from 8 to another 12 years. In that meantime, you have the veterans that are still suffering. You have the children with the birth problems and the health problems that they need the help now. So I couldn't see really myself sitting back and saying, well, we'll wait another 10 years before we can get anything to help anybody with. This is a major start, and this is a point that should be recognized.
Mm-hmm. You both believe that there is evidence that Agent Orange is a cause of the medical problems that you, George, are experiencing?
Oh, yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How do you feel after having the case resolved to hear representatives of chemical companies saying that there is no proven correlation at all?
He's wrong.
Well, every time you have there's a battle over anything, both sides are going to try to maximize their position. Legally, with the settlement the way it's been reached, legally, that nobody's admitting guilt over health problems from the products they manufactured. But I feel it's a major victory for everybody.
I think the people who are angry that it didn't go to court, that the chemical companies didn't admit liability, have built up a great deal of anger over a great many years. And more than anything, they just wanted someone to admit it. And I think they're going to have to get rid of that anger and start to really think about things.
Georgia, can you describe what kind of exposure you had to Agent Orange while you were fighting in Vietnam?
Well, I was in the infantry, and we were out in the jungle most of the time. And from living in these environments for periods of time, which could extend from anywhere from a day and a half, to up to maybe 2 or 3 months, we conducted many operations in areas that were heavily defoliated while I was there. You could see the effects on the trees at that time in the foliage.
Did you feel anything during the periods when the defoliant was being sprayed?
I never noticed it being sprayed, and it wasn't until years later that I began to hear about this Agent Orange.
What were the medical conditions that first led you to seek medical help?
Well, first earliest problems I had, I developed numbness in my fingers and toes would come and go. Then in the mid-70s it was, I had some skin growths, and they were removed, and one was cancerous. And just kept going on. Different problems started arising. Numbness, tremors, hearing problems, things like that. It was just like later on that I started hearing about it and started asking some questions.
What did the doctors tell you when you sought medical help?
Well, at the beginning of it, I was told that there was no problem with the Vietnam veterans, and any problems that we had, wasn't related to any of the herbicides, and that it was all psychological.
What was your reaction, Sheila, when George would get those reactions from doctors?
I think I was at a point of denial then. he had started to get something that I didn't want him to get and I was afraid of. And so when he would come home and he would say that that's what they said, that it wasn't from anything that they knew about, I said, fine, that sounds great. As the years went on, I started to lose the denial and I started to disagree. And a lot of the doctors that he has seen have also agreed that they believe that that's part of the problem. Not all of the problem.
You also have a daughter who was born with physical problems.
Yes.
Can you describe those?
Yes. She was born with a hereditary stomach obstruction, which I had had. But she had a great more difficulty with hers. It was stretched out through a longer period of time. Then after about, she was about 3 months old, she developed a rash all over her body, and she still has it to this day, and she's almost 13. We've taken her to a lot of doctors for treatment, and it has gotten better, but she has to work very hard, and it never does go away. She developed chronic asthma. She developed ear problems. She's had just recently developed curvature of the spine. Most of the problems that she has developed are hereditary. What we find unusual about her having so many hereditary problems is that Georgia's sister is married to my brother, and they have children. Their children have had no hereditary diseases whatsoever. Our one child has had almost every one possible, and I really think that that has something to do with it. It just doesn't seem right.
Do you have any evidence? Do you have anything that makes you sure that your physical problems, George, and those of your daughter are connected to the exposure to Agent Orange?
We have quite a bit of evidence, but like at this time, due to this being only a tentative agreement, I can't divulge any of that right now.
During the time, and currently as well, when you've been seeking medical assistance, have you had any benefits that reimburse you for medical expenses?
I'm lucky. I'm one of the lucky Vietnam veterans due to the fact that I do have a job and I am covered with Blue Cross and Blue Shield. That has been one of the major problems for many of the veterans, especially if they have a child that has serious health problems.
One of your biggest benefits is where you're employed.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he developed a sensitivity to the sun, he worked outside. They gave him a job where he would not have that sensitivity to the sun. He's lucky. There
Very
are other
lucky.
People who were not so lucky.
Do you have any veterans benefits that are reimbursing you for any of your medical expenses?
Well, 1981, President Reagan signed a law, and prior to that time, if a veteran was going to the VA for any health problems, and which may be related to Agent Orange, they didn't have to be treated. Due to much of the political organizing and work amongst the Vietnam veterans on the issue, he was forced into doing that. So there is medical care now that they're entitled to. But as far as any compensation from the VA, that hasn't been passed yet.
George and Sheila Ewalt are my guests. They're residents of Roxborough. And George Ewalt was one of nine people who were to be test cases in the class action suit of veterans against the seven herbicide manufacturing companies that, in this case, was settled out of court just a few days ago. Do you know how you were chosen to be one of the nine in the class action suit?
I've never really been told exactly how I was picked, but I believe it has to do with a lot of the work and research I've spent over the last 6 years on this issue myself.
How did you feel when you were chosen? It meant that a lot of your time was going to be monopolized by this suit, and like it or not, you were going to be in the center of things.
In one way, I was really honored, and another way, I was really leery of it because I knew it was a tremendous responsibility for myself and any of the other plaintiffs in the case because we would be representing so many Vietnam veterans and their families and children.
How did you feel about it, Sheila?
Mixed. I knew he was very anxious to be chosen because he had done so much work. I was glad for him when he was chosen because I knew that that's what made him happy. But I knew that there was going to be a lot of inconvenience. There was going to be a lot of times when he wouldn't be home, a lot of times when he wouldn't really be able to spend with Tara or with myself. And it turned out that way. Not a lot, but it was an inconvenience. But it was an inconvenience that was well worth it. It was well worth it, and it's what he really wanted. Anyone who worked that hard and who wanted so badly to do something for so many people, I couldn't even conceive of saying, tell them no. So I did. I felt good about it.
You have considerable medical problems, which I imagine causes a good deal of suffering and discomfort. Is that eased at all? I mean, does your mind get taken off it at all, knowing that you're doing your best to solve the mystery and seek justice?
Since the agreement was announced, I'd say yes. Really do.
Your daughter is 13 now?
Almost 13, yes.
How much does she know about the legal questions and medical questions surrounding her conditions?
Not a lot. Because she has no visual disabilities, we try not to say too much to her or say too much about her because I think that it would really cause a complex for her. We talk about it. She knows about it, and she's very well aware of it. But anything that George does concerning her, she doesn't usually know about. She's not informed. It's adolescence is a very tough period in life, and she doesn't need these adult things when there are things as trying to get through another day of school and trying to find a boy and trying to do all the other things that adolescent girls do. So it's very low-key, very low-key.
There's probably a lot of other girls and boys her age who have similar problems. Has there been any attempt to get any of them together to talk about it and maybe ease some of the isolation that they feel their medical problems saddles them with?
Yeah, George was in New York for a week a few months ago undergoing medical tests for the lawsuit. And some of the plaintiffs are children. And there were two in particular who are handicapped. And Tara and I had gone up to spend the weekend with them, and she met these children and talked with them. And when she came home, she just had learned 100% more, but she learned it on a level that was appropriate for her. So that did work, but there's no formal thing for a lot of these children. It's nationwide, and it's really very difficult to be able to do something like that.
You're both convinced that Agent Orange exposure had something to do with your daughter's condition. You must know, like a lot of other men and women in a similar situation, how do couples cope with the question of pregnancy, knowing that there's that chance that the child will have serious medical disorders?
They don't get pregnant.
Is that what...
A lot of them. Uh-huh. That's what a lot of them do.
Mm-hmm.
But it has taken its toll on the families of the veterans in more ways than just the physical ailments. And there is a very high rate of marital problems and divorces amongst mm-hmm. the Vietnam veterans. And a lot of it, I feel, is due to this issue in particular because of the unanswered questions that are still bouncing around with it.
Well, I think it made a lot of guys really crazy that things were happening mm-hmm. to them and they didn't know what they were and doesn't cause for good vibes at home.
Is it hard, like, you were already insured when you had your medical problems.
Mm-hmm.
If you weren't insured then, do you think you'd be able to get insurance now? Like, if say, you joined a company that had, one of the major medical insurers on a group plan, would you be able to just buy in, do you think?
I may, but it sure would cost me a lot more than it would for the average person, I'm sure of that.
36 with high blood pressure and peripheral neuropathy. I don't know whether he'd be insured at all. Maybe when you were 25, but I don't know about now.
What do you think the impact of the settlement is going to be on your life?
Well, in my own individual life, it's going to mean I'll have a lot more time spent with my family. But as this issue develops further, what I would like to see come out of it would be where the Veterans Administration would be conducting more thorough testing on the veterans and the children that are having problems, but mainly on the veterans. Testing that can be done, that should be done, very similar to research that has been conducted privately by Dr. Ronald Cadario of Philadelphia, who has worked on this question for quite a few years now and has helped the Vietnam veterans a lot. But that's the one thing I really would like to see come out of it, would be the Veterans Administration facing a question directly and actually doing the proper type of medical testing, which is available.
Do you think that the Veterans Administration has been uncooperative thus far?
Oh, extremely. It's extremely political, and this is an extremely political issue that we face.
What kind of help or research have you sought from them that you think they haven't come through with?
Well, we've been told, by we, I mean the Vietnam veterans, and we've been told for the last 5, 6, 8 years that there would be different type studies conducted and epidemiological studies. We were told originally that these studies would take 8 to 10 years for any results to come in, and that eventually their answers would come. As long as this issue kept dragging on, the dates for these studies kept coming back, being postponed and all that. So, the studies now, there's still no answers on it, really no studies being conducted. The only study they have had, supposedly, was Operation Ranch Hand. Now, the man who was here just a little while ago said that there was no problems detected by Ranch Hand. But when that first came out, that report, it was reported on the radio and in the newspapers that there were certain problems of this group of veterans that a lot of the Vietnam veterans having, like skin cancers and nerve damage and things like that. But that was just glossed over.
Hmm. There is a suit that was filed in court today against the government. The lawyer is the same lawyer who initially represented the vets in the court action suit that was just settled out of court. So the government is being sued for their use of Agent Orange, and the lawyer says that they had prior knowledge of the dangers of dioxin. Do you think that you've expressed the fact that you think that the chemical manufacturers have some responsibility in this, because you think that dioxin is definitely a factor in the medical conditions that you're suffering from? What about the government? How would you rate their responsibility in this? And do you approve of suing the government?
That becomes a different type of battle we will have to take up legally, because there is a federal law that a veteran cannot sue the federal government for any health problems that he may have incurred while he was in the service. So there are different ways the attorneys will have to handle that issue.
Personally, though, do you have any opinions on if you think the government has any responsibility in this?
Oh, definitely. The government's ones that the government sent us to Vietnam, and various products were used over there, and now the Vietnam veterans and their families have health problems, and it's up to the government to face these problems and do something positive for these people.
Have your feelings about the American government changed since you've come back from Vietnam?
Oh, very much so, drastically. I'm more cynical and cautious now.
For what reasons and in what areas?
Mainly with this Agent Orange issue and all, and there's been a lot of things that have happened over the issue, and it's made a lot of the veterans very bitter. But one thing the veterans are going to have to understand is this now is an election year. This issue will be dragged into the presidential campaign eventually, and this settlement of $180 million is going to have to bring changes about with the federal government, the VA, and all the parties involved with it.
How much money do you expect you'll actually get from the $800 million, which will in a few years is expected to, with interest accrued at $250 million?
I have no idea on it. All I can say is that the attorneys and the court system are working on a system to use, to be able to operate with that fund to disperse the funds. So I have no idea.
The Vietnam War is in a way still being fought because there's still a lot of division amongst civilians and veterans about whether the war should have been fought or not in the first place. Did the Agent Orange suit unite veterans no matter where they stood on the issue of the justness of the war?
Certain points on it, I would say yes. But there still is a lot of dissension amongst each other anyway. You have so many individuals.
What about now on the issue of whether this settlement was a good settlement or not? Is that causing a lot of division among vets?
There's some, but I think when this year is worked out within the court system and more information on the issue and the settlement is becomes released as the time goes by, that many of these veterans that are speaking out against it, and when they have the information, they will be able to make a better judgment. Because many of them are talking now on it, and they really have no idea what's involved.
Yeah. They do that. Many of them speak against it for no reason. They can't really come up with a concrete reason for why they're speaking against it, just to speak against something. I believe that.
How do people react when they find out about the medical problems in your family and the link that you think it has to Agent Orange?
We don't publicize it a lot. I don't publicize it a lot anyway. My own family is totally convinced that they're the reason for a lot of George and Tara's problems are from Agent Orange. I have a few friends that I've spoken about about it. But it's not, I try not to make it the main topic of conversation. If we meet someone who happens to be a veteran, we'll ask them if they know about it. Some would rather not talk about it. When they left Vietnam that day, they left and they will never go back no matter what. They don't want to be reminded. So it's really not a hot topic except within our family.
Any concluding comments either of you would like to make?
Well, I'm just glad now we do have a fund available to help veterans and their children. And like I said, this issue is going to have to, it will be dragged on. There'll be more legal points in the future going on with it. So it's not settled completely. But we have something we didn't have before. And I'm happy with that.
You still see a lot of work and research ahead for yourself in this area?
At this point, I really couldn't give you an answer one way or another on that.
Okay. Sheila, any final comments?
Yes, I just hope that the veterans who oppose the settlement try to conquer their anger and try to understand and try to listen for reasons. Then, when they have all that, if they still oppose it, then I won't be so angry with them.
I want to thank you both very much for speaking with us. Thanks for being here. I've been speaking with George and Sheila Ewalt, and they're from Roxborough. George is a Vietnam veteran who was one of nine vets that were plaintiffs in the class action suit against seven chemical companies who manufactured Agent Orange, the defoliant that was used in Vietnam. Though the veterans' class action suit against the makers of Agent Orange has apparently been settled out of court, there are more lawsuits and legislation pending. The Senate is considering a bill sponsored by Senator Alan Cranston that would appropriate funds for Vietnam veterans exposed to Agent Orange and their families. Debate on that bill before the Senate Military and Veterans Affairs Committee was due to begin this week. A stronger bill, South Dakota Representative Tom Daschle's House Bill 1961, has already been passed by the House but has not been approved by the Senate. And today in Brooklyn, Victor Iannacone, the original lawyer in the veteran suit against the chemical companies, was due to bring a new class action suit against three federal agencies, the Veterans Administration, the Food and Drug Administration, and the U.S. Public Health Service. Iannacone says that documents he obtained during the original veteran suit indicate that these agencies knew that the dioxin in Agent Orange was toxic as early as the mid-1960s, but suppressed that information. He hopes that the suit will force the government to pay damage to the veterans exposed to Agent Orange and their families, and he wants to win vets the right to challenge VA decisions on Agent Orange claims in court. The Veterans Administration continues to refuse to pay Agent Orange claims, saying that there is not enough data linking Agent Orange exposure to the veterans' medical problems. Well, that concludes our program today on Agent Orange. Earlier today, we heard from S. Maynard Turk, Vice President and General Counsel to Hercules Incorporated, one of the seven chemical companies who settled out of court in the suit. And we also heard from Michael Milne, a Vietnam veteran who opposed the out-of-court settlement. It's 5 minutes to 5 o'clock. This is Fresh Air, and we'll be joining National Public Radio at 5 for tonight's edition of All Things Considered. I'll tell you what's happening tomorrow afternoon on Fresh Air after this report from Shadow Traffic.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. A fire location under control now in Center City, which has 11th Street closed between Arch and Vine. Local detours in effect around the area. Also, SEPTA's Route 23 trolley is affected due to this fire location, so do expect delays on that line this afternoon. If you're traveling on the SEPTA's Ivy Ridge Manioc line into or out of Suburban Station, they're running with some delays due to switch problems, and just minor delays on the Marcus Hook line leaving Suburban Station due to wire problems. Traveling on the Pennsylvania Turnpike westbound, that's slowing about a half of the length of the Philadelphia off-ramp, and about a 15-minute delay traveling into the airport area on southbound 95 across the Girard Point Bridge. That's Shadow Traffic for WHYY 91 FM. This is Jim Battalese.
That Shadow Traffic report was funded by Waterford Apartments. Let me remind you about the Jubilee of Prizes. You can win a steamboat cruise on the Mississippi for two from the Delta Queen Steamboat Company. It's one of 92 prizes in the WHYY Jubilee of Prizes, a sweepstakes to benefit 91 FM and TV12. To enter, return the tickets and entry card found in the bright red Jubilee of Prizes packet. If you haven't received one but would like to enter, send a postcard to WHYY Jubilee of Prizes, 150 North 6th Street, Philadelphia 19106. Or you can pick one up at Danzison and Quigley, 1853 East Marlton Pike in Cherry Hill. The deadline for the Early Bird Prize, which is a cruise on the QE2, is May 23rd. All other entries must be received by June 25th for the July 4th drawing. Tomorrow afternoon on Fresh Air at 3 o'clock, we'll be joined by photographer Joe Steinmetz. This Sunday at 2 o'clock on The Best of Fresh Air, we'll feature interviews with Hank Osnetsky, the founder and director of the Klezmer Conservatory Band, and Howard Johnson, who's a jazz and rock tuba player and a former member and band leader of the Saturday Night Live Band. So that's all coming up this Sunday at 2 o'clock. I hope you can be listening. Paul Keller was the technical director for today's show. Bob Carlin contributed. Maeve McGoran is the associate producer of the program. Danny Miller, the co-producer. My name's Terry Gross. Thanks for listening. Hope you have a great evening. This is WHYY-FM in Philadelphia, where listener-supported public radio in the Delaware Valley.
Good evening from National Public Radio in Washington. This is Noah Adams.
And I'm Susan Stamberg with All Things Considered.
The school that my Spanish-American friends and my white friends went to, I knew, was Sumner School. And I only knew that I wanted to go to school with them because I played with them every day.
Linda Brown Smith, 30 years ago, she was the plaintiff in Brown versus the Board of Education, the landmark decision by the Supreme Court that schools should provide equity in education. That story tonight in All Things Considered.
Also, foreign ministers from the Arab states worried about attacks on shipping in the Persian Gulf, hoping for help from Washington.
Congress once again says no to nerve gas production.
The Museum of Modern Art in New York, newly designed, just reopened, will help celebrate with a few good stories.
And a farewell to Irwin Shaw.
Now news.
This is Brian Naylor. In a setback for President Reagan, the House today voted to remove $95 million for production of chemical weapons from the 1985 Defense Appropriations Bill. NPR's Alan Berlow has the story.
The House voted to continue the U.S. moratorium on production of new chemical warfare agents. The U.S. last produced such weapons in 1969. But the Reagan administration says existing chemical weapons are deteriorating, that new weapons are needed to get the Soviets to negotiate an all-out ban on chemical agents. Democrat Elliot Levitas said the Soviets will use these weapons unless the U.S. upgrades its stockpiles.
The Soviet Union is prepared to use chemical agents from day one, hour one of any conflict. They are going to use it unless we have a credible deterrent.
Opponents of new chemical weapon production said existing U.S. stockpiles are adequate, that the new weapons could end up costing as much as $14 billion. I'm Alan Berlow at the Capitol.
More troubles at Chicago's Continental Illinois Bank were confirmed today. Federal regulators and other banks announced they will provide up to $5.3 billion in aid to Continental, the nation's seventh largest bank. Over the weekend, a group of 16 banks extended a $4.5 billion emergency line of credit to Continental. Michelle D'Amico of member station WBEZ in Chicago prepared this report.
When you're a banker, life seems unfair at times.
But things are looking up for David Taylor, the chief executive officer of Continental Bank. Rumors of a collapse prompted the bank's depositors to make a $4 billion run on the lending institution. But the federal government and a consortium of 24 banks stepped in this morning with a $2 billion loan and a promise of $3.3 billion more if needed. Taylor says federal regulators have also pledged to back all deposits, even if they exceed the standard $100,000 limit.
The FDIC provides assurance that in any arrangements that may be necessary to achieve a permanent solution, all depositors and other general creditors of the bank will be fully protected.
Taylor says the cash infusion will enable officials to avert a crisis, send Continental on firm financial footing, and possibly pave the way toward a merger with another bank. For National Public Radio, I'm Michelle D'Amico in Chicago.
The White House and the State Department have both denied reports that the U.S. has offered Arab nations air cover for their ships in the Persian Gulf. Over the past 3 weeks, five oil tankers have been hit by Iraqi or Iranian fighters. White House spokesman Larry Speaks says contingency plans are being discussed to keep shipping lanes in the Persian Gulf open, but that no specific request for assistance has been received by the U.S. A military court at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, today sentenced a black Muslim Marine to 4 months at hard labor for refusing to go to Lebanon. Corporal Alfred Frifrin said his religious beliefs prevented him from going for fear he would kill another follower of Islam. He says his punishment in the afterlife would be doubled if he did. Vice President Bush, as part of his official visit to Pakistan, today spent time at a refugee camp near the Afghanistan border. The BBC's Ian Hoare reports from the Pakistani frontier town of Peshawar.
Mr. Bush was flown from Peshawar to a nearby refugee camp in a Soviet-built helicopter belonging to the Pakistani army. Provincial officials said maximum security was enforced for the visit. Armed police were scattered across the plain around the camp. Five American marksmen took up position before the vice president arrived, and an army spotter plane flew over the area. Mr. Bush inspected a school and medical facilities at the camp and then had a meeting with about 800 Afghan tribesmen from the 25,000 refugees in the complex. Mr. Bush told his audience that despite their suffering, he knew their resistance would continue until the Russians realized they could not subjugate the Afghan people. He announced that the United States was giving another $14 million to the refugee aid program, and that a plane load of medical supplies worth $1 million had just arrived.
The BBC's Ian Hoare in Peshawar, Pakistan. The president of the Los Angeles Olympic Organizing Committee, Peter Ubaroth, held an unscheduled meeting with the Soviet Olympic Committee in Lausanne, Switzerland today. U.S. Olympic officials say Ubaroth discussed the Soviet boycott of the Olympic Games with Murat Gramov, the president of the Soviet Olympic Committee. It was the first meeting between the two sides since Moscow announced on May 8th it would not take part in the Games. Details of today's talks were not discussed. Earlier, Poland announced that it, too, is pulling out of the Los Angeles Games. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial average off almost 11 points, finishing at 1142.27. I'm Brian Naylor in Washington.
At a meeting in Saudi Arabia today, foreign ministers of six Persian Gulf nations called for emergency sessions of the UN Security Council and the Arab League. The gathering in Riyadh was prompted by this week's series of attacks on oil tankers in Persian Gulf waters. The BBC's Robert Fox reports from Bahrain.
The six foreign ministers, led by Prince Saud Al Faisal of Saudi Arabia, blamed Iran outright for attacks on two Kuwaiti and one Saudi tanker over the past 4 days. These were acts of aggression, said the ministers, which violated the UN Charter and the laws of navigation, and this would now be raised in the Security Council and at the next meeting of the Arab League on Saturday. The six states belong to the Gulf Cooperation Council, an alliance of conservative powers created in 1981 to reduce the instability caused by the Iran-Iraq war. So far, the alliance has produced no defense program, and today's statement gave little clue as to what practical measures Saudi Arabia and her allies might adopt to protect tankers navigating the Gulf. Saudi Arabia has a modern air force of 175 aircraft, among them the latest American F-15 combat plane. But she is thought to want to avoid physical confrontation with it.